Hey, Dave here from DC On Screen. If you're following us on Facebook, you might have seen us posting artwork that has been sent to fans. This was sent to fans of DC On Screen as part of a promotion. How can you get your own artwork? Simply go over to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us good ratings or reviews. Or, you know, bad ones if you just gotta be a dick. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. Tell us who you want us to draw, who you want to draw it, Dave or Jason, and leave us an address. If you like, you can send us pictures of yourself with the drawing after we send it, and we'll post it to our Facebook page where you can tag yourself. This promotion ends March 31st, by the way, so you have to get those reviews in. Jason, do you have anything else to add?
It's a little for a lot, Dave. It's a little for a lot.
It is a little for a lot. We try so hard.
We need your help. We're asking. Our humble offering.
Humble. Like pie. Anyway, man, settle back, listen to a brand new episode of DC On Screen starting right the hell now. Welcome in to DC On Screen. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey!
And this episode, episode 129 of DC On Screen, we're talking about Lucifer 108, Wingman.
Yep.
So, even though how this episode turns out doesn't leave much hope for such an arrangement in the future, can we just have more of Lucifer hanging out with Amina Deal?
Oh, it was fun.
Like, team up! Team up!
Yeah, yeah. Even the little shared joke about Paul being a fat ass was pretty great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I like that chumminess, man. Like them joking about old school shit. Old school angel shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I like Amina Deal, though.
I really do.
And, apparently Amina Deal is...
like, class up the show somehow. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Could be the giant classy wings, but whatever.
That they aren't even showing anymore. He's just walking away now.
Right.
So Amina Deal is guarding Hell.
Uh-huh. And I was glad they fleshed that out a little bit, were you? Because we were wondering about that.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was publicly or privately, but...
It looked like it came as a surprise to Lucifer, too, so... Okay, cool.
Yeah, he apparently really did not care how that worked out when he walked away. Just, they'll figure it out. So,
and
apparently,
Amina
Deal's just
like
been keeping
years.
People in there, though. There's nothing really... like, you're just in Hell, and there aren't really... There's not, I guess, structured torture sessions of any kind. Like, Maze isn't down there running the torture factory like she's used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lucifer isn't punishing the wicked and all that. Like, it's... I guess you're just kind of there. Like, it's a... like a lock-in.
Right. Yeah. Like a lock-in.
It's slightly more sulfur than normal. That guy at the front of the episode, though.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he is never going down on somebody again.
Right?
He's just never... He'll be in therapy the rest of his life. Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
So, I was annoyed with most of this episode.
Yeah, that's generally the case. At this point, I'm just looking, like, it's like panhandling. I mean, I'm just looking for little nuggets of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
I would agree. I loved the Amina Deal stuff. I loved him running around with Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all
Lucifer's
the stuff where they were...
pursuit of the wings, even. How much he cares about him, I loved.
What I didn't care about, Chloe and Dan. Everything Chloe and Dan this episode.
It's always Chloe and Dan. Don't care.
By the way, though, this episode jumps back up from 3.91 million to 4.24.
Okay. I hadn't looked at the ratings on that. I was curious. We're about, I mean, it's, you know, we're at the time of the year where you're supposed to be getting renewals and whatnot, so.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw, but Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and iZombie have all been renewed.
I did see, and I was quite happy. I mean, I felt good about all four of those except for Legends. I was sure would be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Legends, just the budget of it, the absolute cost was the only thing I was worried about. Still felt good
about
it, though.
Likewise.
Everything else is significantly more doable.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the little Bob's Your Uncle line and think, Jesus?
No.
Is there a British writer on the staff here?
Well. When was that line? I didn't
You remember up front when they blatantly exposed the theme that the show will be taking on about teamwork and fresh pair of eyes and all that? Mm-hmm. You know, in the trope fest up front. Well, he kind of he vanishes on her. He pulls the vanishing act out the door, and she turns around to say something to him, like, "Yeah, I was just thinking." And then she turns around, pops your uncle, like mutters it to herself.
Yeah, no, I didn't catch that.
Sorry, Chloe. Why do you know Bob's your uncle? Are you a Doctor Who fan, Chloe?
Bob's your uncle's been around for so long.
Oh, it's been around for forever.
And it's one of those that I've always hated. Because, like, people just use it for no reason. No one can decide, though, like, what that means.
I swear in... I think there are a couple of occasions where I think I've seen someone use it in the middle of a sentence just to see if someone's paying attention.
Right.
You're fast-talking someone in the middle of it, you're just saying, Bobby, your uncle. Just to see if they flinch.
So it's like, it's all we do. We get together and we do the thing, and then we unlock the safe, and Bob's your uncle. Like,
right.
As in, like, and bingo. That's your name-o.
I've heard it used a few different ways, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it sounds stupid every way.
I like it. It's a charming little phrase.
It's not.
I like it.
Bob is not my uncle.
Maybe he is. Maybe that's why that's how it came to be. Bob was some sort of British
siblings.
Johnny Appleseaman. Bob's every fucking uncle.
I'm my old grandpa.
Yeah. Wait, what does that guy say? There's one line that I got a good kick out of, because he's saying that he has to, instead of saying that you need to prove the origin of the wings, he says, prove the wings' providence. It's like, oh, come on now. You shoved providence in there, didn't you guys? All right, good job. That made me laugh.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I think they should do more of that, because when I heard that, I was like, shit, that gives the show a little weight.
Right.
If they didn't do that, the show would just be floating around like one of Lucifer's burning feathers.
Yeah. And there's a lot to do with feathers in this episode that I was confused by and or a little interested in. Kind of a little bit of both in some cases. All right. Like, when Amenadiel and him are first talking, like him walking away saying, no, you wanted free will and accountability. Fix your own damn mess. All right. Let's do this. But getting to threaten him, I like this. Threatening him with essentially, I can get you back in hell anytime I want. We just have to get you killed. Eventually, somebody's going to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That was fun.
Yeah. I like that angle.
I was glad he went ahead and told Amenadiel that he's he's mortal now.
Right.
I was like, oh, thank you. Please.
Well, he kind of had to for a second there. He's talking about...
I know. Amenadiel's going to get him killed.
Right. there's that angelic ego. Okay. Yeah, man, I like that, but I'm starting to get a lot of the Chloe Dan stuff is annoying anyway, but, at this point, like, Lucifer has shown you things that you can't explain. I mean, you've seen him do things you can't explain. You just met his angel friend.
Right.
And then
it was apparently his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And y'all are going on like a hunt for his wings. Man, she's way, like, just way in denial right now. I'm getting bored with it. Because I thought they were going to, especially the way they ended a couple episodes, like the one where she's just looking at the footage of him throwing that guy, like, a supernaturally long amount away, far away.
Mm-hmm.
I really hoped we were going to put a couple of nails in that coffin, but we haven't.
Nope.
She keeps retreating into, and now the angle is, well, I know this is important to you, and I want to be your friend, so. Like, that's... Right. As unbelievable that suddenly she's decided that Lucifer's her friend, because he's kind of an asshole and deliberately an asshole most of the time. Like, he's not a good person to have around. He's poison for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But,
and see, that's one of the issues with the show. Like, yeah, okay. So Lucifer is not a good person to have around. Obviously he's Lucifer, but he is kind of charming and kind of funny sometimes.
Sure.
Okay. Kind of charming, kind of funny.
Right.
Chloe is not a good person. She's cold. She's apparently a bad cop because... at the end of this episode, she realizes, oh, wait, the guy that I've been accusing who's been in a coma is innocent. Okay.
Yeah. Not only innocent. And by the way, come on. That was the worst job of sneaking around I've seen in a while. Like, she's in the warehouse and she... come on.
So she's cold. She's unlikable. She's not a good cop. Apparently completely incapable of seeing what's right in front of her, that Lucifer is Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's afraid of him. Like, a dude smash. She watches a dude smash his head into a pane of glass, mm-hmm. screaming about, like, how he's Lucifer. Okay, mm-hmm. but she just still doesn't get it. Okay. Okay.
No, and it's still just a playful thing. Just a whatever.
At this point, the two most competent characters on the show, I would say, are Dan and the little girl, Trixie.
Yeah.
They're the most human and competent people.
No, like, Maze is the most competent person on the show.
Well, Maze is the most competent person on the show.
Followed closely by Trixie.
Once again, unlikable. Just cold, heartless.
Thoroughly, not a person you want at your birthday party, you know?
So I'm guessing we're supposed to be rooting for Dan and Trixie here. You're not giving me a lot to work with, Lucifer.
I am rooting for Trixie. I like her.
I was actually happy she wasn't in this episode. I was just like, oh, yay, no. Like,
no more jokes about tiny humans.
Yeah, a reprieve from cutesy Lucifer jokes. Like,
right.
I like Lucifer, Mommy. I don't care that you were a porno actress.
No, Trixie won me over by saying, like, by pointing to the copy of the DVD she had. And was like, that's not even high def. All right.
Yeah, it was funny.
All right, it's good. Good line.
Your boobies were grainy, Mommy.
I've seen you walk around. They're not that grainy. Seen you head into the bedroom for heading to the laundry room for a bra. No, no, no.
The color of your nipples are way more vibrant in real life. Where's Lucifer?
You're right. This kid
already
needs
therapy. Why am I asking where Lucifer is constantly instead of asking why Daddy won't come home?
Right. Right. This kid is a lot more messed up now that you're describing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's watched her mom in a porn film that apparently her school companion showed her.
Right.
She's not even interested in why her dad's not necessarily around. Like, it was okay that he came over for tapas. That's cool. But who the hell cared, I guess, if he didn't? Because where the hell's Lucifer?
Her dad shows up. She's like, Daddy, why are you here? Like, last week. A few weeks ago, Lucifer comes over.
Who the hell invited
you? A few weeks ago, Lucifer just comes in uninvited, and Trixie like runs over and like grabs his legs and hugs him.
Right, right.
Something's wrong here.
Yeah, that's not a well adjusted child yet.
So I was.
She's coping.
So I was aggravated because I knew that Amina Deal had tipped off the guy to steal the wings. I was like,
it was still, to me, it was still a 50-50 between there being like some connection to the Palmetto case that she's so interested in and Amina Deal. And the show's so young that I couldn't rule out that they would just introduce another character around this time.
I absolutely didn't believe, it's a procedural, I absolutely did not believe that they would introduce another character to be the person who stole his wings.
I was still holding all those options as, you know, options. So I hadn't been... Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the business with the therapist and everything, I'm like, oh, this is all an Amina Deal trick. Like, last episode when they hadn't, introduced a possible person who would have taken their wings, I was like, no, it's got to be Amina Deal.
Gotcha.
And I was right. And,
Well, the math is good. But the show's still so young that I thought it might pull something on me. It didn't, though.
No. And then Lucifer burned the wings. And
With Amina Deal being the person who betrayed him. Like, that was cool. That was fine with me. I mean, it's a little bit predictable, but...
I kind of feel like Lucifer should have seen it coming before I could. Like, you... you're Lucifer.
I doubt he spends a lot of his time, trying to figure out the manipulative angles of an angel, you know? It's not... I feel like Amina Deal's, behavior for an angel is way out of context, and it's got to be because apparently he's been guarding the gates of hell for 5 years against his will.
Right.
Yeah. You'd think you have a little more sympathy for Lucifer, you know? Like, he doesn't even like guarding the gates, much less run the joint. Yeah. And he's done it for 5 years instead of millennia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the line, though, that it gets to?
What's that? Which one?
When he's punching him, that's right, hit me, brother, fall as I did.
Yeah.
That was good character work right there.
I hated that Lucifer burned his wings.
That's
you
the
just
part
gave
I did
me...
see coming. That's the
you
part I knew was coming.
I knew it was coming, but I didn't want it. I so didn't want it. So hard.
Well, they brought up that it was just, he called him out on it and said, "You that was pretty sentimentalist for the devil. And yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
They had to tie it up.
One of the other things that they've had going on is that he genuinely likes punishing the wicked. He likes being the devil.
Well, they're also working the angle so far this season that he used to enjoy punishing the wicked, and now he's starting to enjoy finding justice mm-hmm. for the innocent a little bit more. Which again is just it's a different angle, but there's a real difference.
See, I was hoping for Lucifer to merge with the wings again.
And oh, I was.
Amina Dill is like, so you're coming back to hell, and you can't be here and be the devil, and he's like, well, why can't I? You know, I thought that we were gonna get like to a good middle ground where he's like, no, I'm gonna punish the wicked, and I'll be the devil, but I'm not going back, brother. You know, like I'm staying here.
I'm gonna do this my way. Okay, I would have liked the line like if he straps on the wings. And I just had assumed that if he put the wings on his back, that the skin would just heal magically. I just assumed that's how the show would do it. But Tom Ellis takes off his shirt, straps the wings on real quick, and puts the wings on, and then Amina Dell's like, "So you're going back to hell?" And he just turns back, "Hell no, I'm gonna stay right here. I mean, I want my property back." And you're right, I did miss these things, but I think I can do this job from here. No, thank you.
Yeah,
that wouldn't, That wouldn't bother me. I mean, I'm still not disinterested in where they're going with Lucifer, though. Because right now, they've just, like I said, they've got him changing a little bit. He's changing his motivational base, and that's fine. And then introducing his mortality, which apparently is pretty much full-fledged right now. It brings up questions that I want to know the difference on. Like, why is he suddenly mortal? Do we get to have a conversation with God at some point about, I'm looking forward to a real throwdown between him and God. If that's at all possible, like an actual conversation on screen that I can see.
Who would you like for them to cast as God?
I have no idea. I really don't. And they can't do the dogma thing because they just keep saying he too much, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
My father, my father, my father. So I suppose it has to be a guy, and I wouldn't even know who to begin casting. You got an idea for this show?
Is Cheech Marin still alive?
I don't think so. No, he is. He is.
Yeah, Cheech Marin.
He is. No.
Cheech Marin.
No. See, I was going to go Gary Busey, but I decided not to go down that road. Apparently, I wouldn't have been traveling alone.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cheech Marin.
Going with Cheech Marin. Okay.
I like that.
Because a giant pile of why not?
Yeah. Well, I like Cheech Marin. But not Cheech and Chong.
I did like those movies. They were funny. It's like funny to watch one time and then move on with your life, but they were funny.
Yeah, I could never. I see. I liked him in Nash Bridges. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
It's a very small fan club, buddy.
No, don't get me wrong. Nash Bridges was shit. It was a terrible show, but I liked him in Nash Bridges. Yeah. That's the difference. Apparently, he's on Jane the Virgin, though. So
is he? Okay. Well, there's something I'll never see. Dude, did you? I enjoyed it really, I don't know, kind of brought the point home, I guess. When he goes to find the auctioneer at his house and, you know, says, like, lifelong atheist, then you found this and you couldn't let go. And sure enough, like, the guy's just begging him, don't take them, I can't live without them.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. I liked that just a human getting even a glimpse of divinity is just it's too much to bear, too much to handle. Like, mentally, it's more than you can even account for.
I did like that a lot.
I mean, it's got to have an effect on you. If you actually saw like a pair of angel wings, that would be just that's the other thing with Chloe. Like if I had seen everything she had seen, I'd be at a church right now. I might be doing this podcast. I'd be doing it from a sanctuary because I wouldn't be willing to leave the damn thing. I my tits would have fallen off from fear. I've gone to the nearest church I could find and just like brought canned goods.
Why canned goods?
Because I'm not leaving that place.
Oh, okay.
I'm hunkering down, dude.
I thought you were like, oh, here's my charitable donation, canned goods.
Right. I'd be living like on a diet that consisted solely of those little wafers that are apparently the body of Christ and holy water. That's all I would be eating and drinking.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, like that's a realistic reaction if you're her and you've seen the devil.
Yeah.
But you know, hey. That's where they've lost me a little bit on the show is just not having any realistic reactions to meeting fucking Lucifer, except for the people who toss themselves off the side off a building, and then she just doesn't care. How weird. And what do you think May is up to with one feather?
I'm assuming she's gonna regrow the wings.
Try to like snap them on him in the middle of the night or something?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're probably they're divine. They're of a divine nature, so I'm assuming they can regrow or regenerate or something, as long as you have one.
I figured we'd see something about it next episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd think they could maybe regrow or...
Did you see the promo for next week's?
No, I hadn't looked it up yet.
It's not even like... They're not even trying. It's just like, back to business, back to... It looks pretty... I couldn't find a real plot.
This one wasn't too different.
Yeah. Either they're trying to cover up the plot points or they really got nothing. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I'll take a look. I'm curious, but I hadn't looked at it yet.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, man. I'm not sure what was going on, like why Amandel actually I guess he heals that guy at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how he even knew about that.
I don't know how he knew about it. I don't know why it was on his radar. He's got angelic powers. Surely he can heal somewhere in there, I guess. And, you know, mm-hmm. starting a heart, that's got to be pretty low on the totem pole of angel tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt more like a metaphor for the show that Amandel's story with what he's doing to Lucifer in an attempt to get him back into hell, that's the heartbeat of the show. Mm-hmm. It felt almost way too on the nose for Amandel to literally be restarting somebody's heart.
Yeah.
Or just a nice wink, however you want to do it. But I'm not sure what the hell he's doing with that. I did like, though, that it combines the Palmetto case that I didn't give two fucks about mm-hmm. with the angelic storyline. So
I still don't care about it.
I don't either, but at least now it's got... At least now the plots are coming together, and that's how you serialize something instead of proceduralize it.
Yeah.
Take all the A, B, C, and D plots and make sure they're actually doing something.
Right. Well, I think that's all I've got for Lucifer, man. What do you think?
Yeah. Are you thinking the same thing though? It's still getting a little bit better, but not. It's still not to the point where I would tell someone to watch this thing yet.
They're showing me glimpses of side boob here. I mean, it's
that's about right.
I don't know.
That's about right.
It's like, you know, glimpses of side boob, but no real promise of a wedding night. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
right. Right.
I couldn't in good conscience recommend it to anyone.
Right.
I'm like...
Well, anyone who really enjoyed procedurals, and I could...
Right.
If that's your bag, but...
Yeah, as I've mentioned on the show before, I am rewatching The X-Files in whatever spare time I might have,
mm-hmm.
and even the procedural episodes there show way... Like, they are actually interesting. Like, I care. Not because I really care, but because I kind of want to see how this works out.
X-Files, though, had a built-in aspect to it that this show never will have. I mean, this is a detective, like, they're both essentially detective stories, but mm-hmm. one's about high-concept sci-fi, and one's about, like, dudes on L.A. streets that I don't give a shit about.
Right.
If they were investigating aliens while in the meantime, I'd be all over this shit.
Well, see, like, I feel like we should be, like, maybe delving into Chloe, is that her name? Chloe?
Chloe, yeah.
Chloe needs to, like, I don't know, be coming across some supernatural type shit, like supernatural crimes that Lucifer can help her with. Not all of them, but some of them. Like, or just give me something, man. Like, something. But I don't know. I just don't care. They're not even doing well with the normal procedural crimes that they have to solve. Like, it's just like, plot twist, he kidnapped himself. Plot twist, she kidnapped herself. Plot twist.
I know. That's pretty standard fare for the average, like, detective show. They're doing about as well as anybody else does.
Not this many times in a row.
Oh, no. Yeah. They should have spread that kidnapping part out a little bit. But
yeah. Like, X-Files will do, like, a cool thing where, like, they, you know, don't always solve the case.
Right.
But, like, maybe they don't, but, like, they'll throw in a little thing to where, like, that, you know, the characters didn't see, but the audience sees, and, like, oh, cool, so we know the truth, but Mulder and Scully never found out. Or...
Well, they did that here. I mean...
Yeah.
Dude gets his heart back, and there's just Amandel walking down the hallway.
I'm just saying... You know, even Quantum Leap was better. Like, Quantum Leap was tremendous but...
Just good. I mean,
yeah,
especially for its time.
Yeah, that's why I say even. go back into the early 90s, I'm looking at this going, yeah, it's just a procedural, and Sam has to figure out the way to do the thing. But even that is like, we should be beyond that. We should have evolved beyond Quantum Leap, but they're not even up to snuff with that. Anyway.
Yeah, I think they're about par for their contemporaries, to be honest, dude. I mean, well, I'm not going to get a better story over on Castle.
I don't watch Castle, and I love Nathan Fillion, but I don't watch Castle.
I tried. I really did.
I love Nathan Fillion so much, but I just can't do it.
I used to just throw it on in the background to see, you know, if anything would ever happen. And I swear it, I did that for 6 whole seasons. Just threw it on the background and did whatever like paperwork I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was charming. But I swear everything that actually happens during that entire 6 seasons, I could have condensed to like 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But that's the way shows like that work. And I hope it's not the way this works, because most of the times, like Bones, you know, like you have to wait until like season 8 or 9 where the ratings start to kind of wane, and they're like, okay, well, you got to get to going on this. Let's go ahead and get these kids together and get them, have them a baby or something.
The ratings are going down. We're going down. We're going down. Okay, you two make out and you kill that one.
Let's kill this one off and make him a director.
Who'd you say to kill? I don't really care. Kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because they want to, like,
wait,
they want all those
be
people.
Unemployed. You're going to come back as a flashback and a ghost. You'll be fine.
They want all these people who were like, yeah, I don't really watch that anymore. They want the other people to be like, oh, no, it's gotten crazy, dude. Like, Booth got married to blah, 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 and then she got a baby. And what? As soon as I stopped watching? Oh, I'm at a good one. It's a dirty trick.
And Angel's in jail for a little while there. Prison, I guess.
Right? And I don't, you know.
I don't know.
I don't blame them completely, because they have
And then they show up on Sleepy Hollow.
They have the terrible task of trying to make a show last like 10 years. Or, you know, as long as they can, at the very least. And still somehow move the story along to satisfy long-term fans.
Yeah. It's an unenviable goal.
It's not cool. Tell a story, guys. Come on. Go in. Tell a story. Get out.
Get out.
Anyway. That's good advice for us as well. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com, iTunes, Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Dude, the new Civil War, Captain America Civil War trailer just dropped. They got Spider-Man in there, and yes,
it
all
dropped
the
many things. Like, all the dicks went right into the dirt. Oh my god,
about to say, I think my balls finally dropped. I'm 32.
A plume of dust rose forth from the earth from all of the dicks dropping. That's what killed the dinosaurs. They watched the Civil War trailer.
The ground is littered with craters from the ovaries
from the ovaries of many. I couldn't help it. I got to the end of that, and Spider-Man pops out. Like, you see the web, and you see the shield, and you actually see him, and it looked like weird CGI, to be honest. I didn't give a shit. I squilled.
Apparently, everything was real in that shot, except for the eyes.
Nice.
Yep.
Maybe I'll just have to get used to it, but oh my god.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale, by the way.
They are.
Go find yourself one. But not before you buy your Batman vs. Superman ticket.
Right. Which we already have. We are going to be talking about Legends of Tomorrow, 108, Night of the Hawk, in the next episode, which should be dropping thusly. If you look at your podcatcher, it should already be there. So, I don't know. Treat us like some cornbread and sop up the pot liquor with us. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Keep some DC on your screen, guys.
Bail! Ripcord! Ripcord! Ripcord!